You must be at least 18 years of age to listen to the following podcast. I am Robert Black, and you are listening to Sexual Heroes. In this episode, I'm joined by three of my masturbation brothers, commonly referred to as Bait Brothers, to discuss the outcome of a recent survey I posted on Twitter. I asked men in the masturbation, or bait, scene to describe behavior they've encountered from other baiters that is, simply put, not cool. Mike, well known in the bait community as SF Natural Muscle, was a guest in episode 6 of the first season of Sexual Heroes. That episode has been wildly popular. Since then, he's gone on to create content for OnlyFans. Beastly Bader was another popular guest for episode 8 of season 3 on Sexual Heroes. This baitfluencer, masturbation advocate, contributing author for the Bader blog hosted by baitworld.com, and sex coach in training has a podcast of his own titled The Bait Escape. Adam Surge is joining Sexual Heroes for the first time. His Twitter bio reads, PhD, baiter, video editor, burlesquer, and award-winning cum guzzler. We didn't get to talk about that cum guzzling, so I might just have to ask him back for a one-on-one. You can find Adam on OnlyFans and Just for Fans. Now, kick back, spread your legs, grab your dick, and enjoy this special episode of Sexual Heroes. Hey guys, welcome to Sexual Heroes. Thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So we've got, in this episode, we have Mike, who is SF Natural Muscle on Twitter. And in Bait World, is it the same?
It's at SF Natural on Twitter and SF Natural Muscle on Bait World.
There we go. And then we have Adam Surge.
Hi.
And Adam, you are Adam Surge XXX on Twitter?
On all the platforms.
Yeah, on all the platforms. They're all the same. Yeah. Look at you. And then we have Beastly Bader with us.
Hi. How's it going?
Hey.
And where do they know you from? What are your handles?
It's all just Beastly Bader.
Okay. Nice and easy.
Yep, nice and easy.
So this is a countdown episode, guys. What I did was I put a survey out on Twitter and asked all the Bait Brothers to send in their thoughts. And it asked two questions. Describe what good behaviors look like. If you're a good bro, what do those behaviors look like? And if you're being a bad bro, what are those bad behaviors that you could demonstrate in a cam room, one-on-one, in a group setting? And so I got almost 100 responses.
Oh, nice.
And so I used that to create this countdown of bad behaviors or brohaviors. Probably went a little too far with it.
No, I like it. It's clever. Okay. Very good.
We love a play on words.
Okay. Well, that's what I tried to do through all of this. Sometimes I hit the mark, sometimes not so much, but taking all those responses, considering all those responses, I came up with this countdown 10 to 1. So 1 will be the one that was most often listed as a bad behavior.
Okay.
But one of the criteria to make it to the list was it had to be something that a baiter maybe could be, you know, a seasoned baiter or a new baiter, they might do that they may not even realize is not appreciated by other baiters. So I'm hoping that in the process of going through this list that people learn and, you know, if you're a new baiter, you're going to get a lot of insight real quick to give you kind of a quick start into the bait culture. And if you're a seasoned baiter who maybe has been doing something that's been annoying people, maybe you'll go, oh wow, that's me.
Well, I'm wondering if I'm going to find myself on this list.
You might.
Yeah, this is going to be a drag us all episode.
I feel like I might be guilty of some of these things.
Yeah.
Be so careful passing the poppers in horizontal orientation. It's always very dangerous.
Let's go with an example first. This one did not make it on the list. And the reason is...
It's because we're all guilty.
Is because it's one that if people are doing it, they know it's wrong. Okay, so I didn't put this on the list, but I'm going to give you an example of how this is going to work. So I'm going to show you the name of the behavior first. Mm-hmm. The body snatcher. So what do you think that bro would be doing?
No clue.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, is he converting himself into an alien baby and then squirming into our bodies and taking...
No. I know, I was going to say, was it... It was a great cult movie like in the 70s, but right. Yes. I don't know what it means here.
So here, when someone uses your image as his own on other platforms, a.k.a. catfishing.
Okay. Yes. All right. This happens all the time.
Yeah. So it's bad. If you're doing it, you know it's wrong. So it's not on the list. But
although I got to say, it's a little flattering when it does happen, because then it's like, oh, damn, I made it. People are using pictures. Uh-huh. My friend in Vegas told me that someone was using my pictures on Grindr, and I was like, oh shit, I'm like famous.
You have arrived.
Well, I hope I never catch anybody doing it. I would not like that.
I mean, I guess it depends on like what they're using it for. Like if they're just trying to like be assholes, and I don't want to be an asshole, but like have fun with my pictures. Ultimately, when you meet this person, it's not going to be me. So what's the, why even bother using it?
Well, I don't want somebody to think that I'm the asshole.
Yeah, right. That would be like the bad part of it. Yeah. That's what I wouldn't want to have happen. But I don't know. If someone's trying to get ladies in my images, it'd be like, cool. Yeah, here's my dick.
This is a bad thing. Okay.
It is bad. It is
okay. Bad. Okay. But so you get how it works now. Okay.
Yes. Got it.
All right. Got it. Okay. So number 10, we're starting the countdown. Number 10, the pickpocket.
I could think it's like someone that's collecting pics. That someone has no intentions of meeting up with you and just simply asking for more images of you.
Oh, yeah, that's a good guess.
Mm-hmm. I was just imagining someone's. I just noticed now that pic was a pun and was spelled just PIC. So yes, I guess that makes sense.
Thank you for pointing that out, Adam. which I need to be doing because this is not a visual. Although I do plan to turn this into a slideshow that people can watch on Twitter.
That's nice.
So they can, you know, look at this and listen to the podcast episode if they want.
Right, right.
I didn't notice the spelling at first, and I just thought about stealing. And then I was like, oh, yeah, I don't want people stealing from me. That's not good.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so before I reveal this one is what really caused me to do this episode, because a bait bro who I've interacted with probably at least for a year... he posted some pictures from Bait World on Twitter and a screen capture from a cam room. And I said, hey, bro, do they know you posted this? And he goes, no, is that wrong? I was like, yeah, that's really wrong. Cause these people do not expect, they don't expect that.
Right.
You know, you could out them. When you're within Bait World, that's the community that it should stay in.
Right. So on this point, I posted a picture from Bait World, like, I don't know, like 2 weeks ago, but I wrote the guy. I wrote him an email saying, hey, listen, this is just a really insanely hot fucking picture here. I have to post this on Twitter, but only if you tell me it's okay. And so it took like 2 weeks back, and then he got me okay. And then I was like, okay, now we're going to post it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's important to ask permission always. I mean, I even ask permission. I sometimes use, for example, I get direct messages on OnlyFans and things like that, and I like to use that as promotion. But I even, before I take those screenshots, I even ask them their permission if like it's okay for me to use their work, because they might just mean that privately. Mm-hmm. But yeah, anytime you have people's private words or faces or all those things, that should kind of stay where it's intended.
Right. So let me just read what I had here as the official definition of the pickpocket. Reposts your membership site photos or videos or cam session screen captures on another platform, such as Twitter. So, bros, keep it all. If it's in Bait World, it stays in Bait World. Okay.
Right.
All right. Number 9, the lumberjack.
Well, I don't know what this is referring to, but I have a big boot and flannel fetish. So I hope I'm not doing something wrong with that.
No. Okay, you probably won't get this one.
The wood chopping culture is very offended.
Number 9, the lumberjack chops down your wood by chatting or talking about current events, holidays, his favorite food, his mother, or any other topic other than baiting.
Yeah, you know what? This happens a lot, honestly, when I want to like phone bone with somebody and it sort of veers off, and then the whole thing is just off the rails and it doesn't work. Yeah.
For me, I've been to group play, and sometimes they'll start out with kind of a socializing thing, and then it sort of bleeds into what should be the fun time. And for me, if you've got my ear talking about some recipe or something, I'm not going to get into it.
Right.
I don't know. I tend to just read the room on those sorts of things and see where people are at. I kind of don't mind this behavior if it's with someone that I'm close to. Mm-hmm. It just depends, you know. I think I just try to like feel out the situation. If I'm with someone, if I'm playing with a really close friend of mine, we do this all the time. I mean, it's fine.
Yeah.
There are people that I've been camming with now probably upwards of over 10 to 15 years. And with some of those people, like we have natural, like we've met each other in person or we're friends on social media. Like sometimes we're like jerking off and like something happens or something's funny and something comes to mind and just end up doing it. I actually think it can be a way to really deepen connections with people, but it kind of depends a lot on, again, reading the room and figuring out whether like, if, especially if it's someone I don't know and what we're trying to do is masturbate together, it is a little bit strange just to like bring that stuff up because you don't have that kind of rapport with that person.
Right. Absolutely. I have a friend of mine actually down in Sydney, Australia, and we have a really deep relationship now. I mean, after 10 years. Mm-hmm. So we talk about all sorts of things in addition to baiting. So yeah, I mean, it just depends, right? I mean, if you're just meeting somebody for the first time and it's going to be, it's not a long-term friendship or whatever, then this lumberjack thing is a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I have a bait buddy and we talk about current events or whatever while we're jacking. That's cool. I think what I'm picturing is being in a cam room and someone starts, you know, they want to talk to me about the podcast or, you know, something like that. I'm like, bro, I'm here to jerk off, so you know I appreciate it, but
I'm there with you with that. I think in a public cam room setting, especially in a public cam room setting, everybody has their video on and everyone's just sort of there for the purpose of that thing,
right?
So it's definitely a weird time to bring stuff up,
right?
I don't like when I'm camming publicly and people are like, oh shit, I recognize you from some porn. I'm like, I really don't want to try to do that.
Yeah. Right now.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Right. Yeah. I think in my experience, it's always been someone that's just quite new to the scene. Mm-hmm. And also too, I think it comes from people that aren't as self-aware as other people. So for example, you're coming to a brand new space. This is someone's first time at doing some group cam or in-group baiting. They're just not aware of reading the room and kind of the tone that takes.
Right.
And so oftentimes I'm a nice guy, so I'm having to be like, it's cool. Maybe we could talk about that later. We're just going to really focus on the porn right now. And so it's kind of an opportunity to kind of let them know what the situation calls for. I try never really to be mean unless someone's just obviously just being annoying or when Adam said, like, someone's trying to get to know you from like some video, you're just like, yeah, we can talk about that later, but right now I'm focused on my dick.
Right. Like, send me a message. Send me a private message.
Yeah.
We'll talk later, bro. Okay.
Yeah. But I don't ever think it's like bad intention. I think it's just like nervous energy, to be honest.
Right. I think that the takeaway is just like Adam said, read the room.
Yeah. And that's a skill. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for sure.
Okay. Number 8, the invisible baiter.
Sounds hot.
Doesn't it?
When you get a reach around,
like some ghostly baiter just masturbating you don't even know. You're like, yes,
that's turning me on. No,
that's a whole porn concept right now, I think.
I would think that this is somebody who like wants to Skype with you, but they don't turn the camera on. I think that may be what they're referring to here.
Well, okay. Well, let's see. The invisible baiter expects you to accept his request to chat, accept a friend request, unlock your gallery, or move to another platform for a private cam bait without any visible electronic presence.
Yeah, that's a really creepy. Yeah, those are tough.
So this is where I see it the most, and maybe you guys have the same thing, is that on Baitworld, for example, you get friend requests, and I just accept them all across the board. I do not make any determination. If you send me a thing, I just accept them all, because otherwise you get into the subjective thing about accepting and rejecting, and I just don't like that. I just accept them all. And what happens is that somebody has a profile that has whatever that globe icon is that they use, and I think maybe they've changed it recently, but anyway, they don't have a picture up or anything like that, and I just have just adopted a policy. I just accept them all, and I don't have to think about it. Nobody gets offended, but I'm unlikely to sit and have long, deep chat with you if you don't have this. I mean, if you don't have your picture up, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I don't have a problem with you being invisible. Like, I did that for a couple of years only because I was so unsure of how I wanted to kind of proceed with the, you know, with the community. I agree with SF. I think I inevitably just accept everyone. But ultimately, if you're chatting me like on Twitter, and I know I've had people like came in all the platforms, and it's like this same person, and it's just like, no.
Well, this is more like we're talking about in a camera when you're baiting, or uh-huh. Yeah. You're in a camera, like, and they don't have their camera on. There's nothing in their profile. They're trying to get your attention. They think they're going to get you to go private.
I think that mm-hmm. some people their fetish is voyeurism. And I think that some people may not, for better or worse, may not be as out about that and like just say, hey, my fetish is just watching you, kind of like the way people show themselves off on Chatterbait or mm-hmm. cam models do mm-hmm. or things like that. And so maybe that's why they do it. The other reason why some people do that is probably more nefarious, and that's because they want to record you mm-hmm. without your permission, right? Because if they do that, then they don't out themselves by doing that. I don't know how common that is. But I have a feeling that the voyeurs are pretty common. And these are people who are maybe kind of like what Beasley was saying. Maybe you're just getting comfortable with the community and not really figuring out what's going on, but don't realize that it's maybe bad form to just right. assume that you want to go private with them and mm-hmm. show off for them without. I mean, for me, the fun part of that is the reciprocity. So it doesn't do anything for me unless they're showing themselves to me. But
yeah. Well, and to me, on other sites, not so much Baitworld, because like you, Mike, I just accept all the friend requests.
I absolutely do not. I only laughed because I only accept the friend requests from people that I actually consider friends and that I talk to on some sort of regular basis. And even in my profile, it's like, we should have had a conversation already if you're sending me a friend request. So, but I have a different approach to it. But
yeah. I get that. I was doing that actually. And then I don't know. I just gave up. It was like you, Mike, it's just easier just to do it. But, but yeah, but on other sites, people will send me a message. They want me to unlock. It's like, you're asking me to unlock and you don't even have a profile picture. And I'm out there totally naked, face, cock, everything. So
that's when you say, here's my Venmo.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Because I feel like it might be a whole different situation between maybe the three of you, but more so Robert maybe and Adam. Because I feel like you're more established within the adult entertainment industry. And so people are just kind of like, hey, I just want to get Adam on cam by myself, but not willing to tip. And that's mm-hmm. annoying, because you're just like, listen, there's people here that are fans and are willing to help out and actually follow communication appropriately mm-hmm. rather than just getting
to be on the side. Yeah, that tipping thing was just a joke. I'm like, you want my pics and I can't see you? Fine, give me some fucking money. Actually, I don't. When I'm in public cam rooms, I am there for fun. I'm not trying to be a porn actor. I'm not trying to like make money off of people. I'm just hanging out with everybody. So that's especially the venue in which it's like, I'm just here to hang out, guys. Yeah. I'm just here at the party. That's all.
Well, that's how you and I met, Adam.
Yeah, absolutely.
That
absolutely.
Was cool. Yeah. Really cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's go on to the next one. The thespian.
Well, I know what a thespian is.
Yeah. Okay, number seven, the thespian.
Somebody's acting something.
Okay. I mean, everybody's acting. To some degree, it's all performative, right? Mm-hmm. Unless I don't know what this is, maybe.
Okay. So, the thespian assumes you want to be his scene partner as he plays the role of boy, daddy, master, slave, faggot, or pup, or whatever else.
Right.
Yeah, nobody does this, but you should ask about that first.
Right.
There should be a conversation first.
Yeah.
But I mean, people just straight up do it. I mean, they just do it.
Yeah. People will message me and say, you know, hey, sir, blah, 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 blah. You know, and I'll often just call them son or boy, depending on my mood at the moment. But that doesn't mean I want to go into this long role play scenario, you know, like
right.
that's
right.
that needs to be negotiated between two people that are into it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Number six, the pit stopper. That's P I T hyphen stopper.
Smells pretty good right now.
I know. It sounds like a fetish that I might be into. I hope I'm not offending yeah. anyone.
Sounds like something I like very greatly.
Maybe. Okay. The pit stopper shows up fresh from a long, hard workout, assuming all other baiters enjoy body odor or man scent.
No.
Yeah. This That's, one, I don't know. This one doesn't bother me because I'm so into it, but but I can imagine some people bothered. Are not. I'm not bothered a bit. And I'm actually
well,
quite.
It depends.
Yeah. Right, Adam? I'm surprised this is even ranking high on the list. I would have thought this was like.
I'm not a man. I'm not a fan of man scent. Like, I don't like it. I don't. It's true. When you, I think those things should be discussed. Like, if you're just coming from the gym and you want to just hang out, let a brother know, because I'm going to be able to smell that and it's going to dictate whether or not I'm going to have a good time.
Well, here's the other thing too. Some guys rink and they're stank and it's not hot. And other guys, like I shower like once a week. I'm bald as a cue ball and I don't really have to wash my hair and I don't stink. I have like a musky smell to it and it doesn't bother. It's not rank. But if you really are one of those guys that's got a strong odor, yeah, this would be a huge problem.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I think it depends on what the odor is for me. And I can't speak for people that aren't into scents whatsoever. So someone right. like Beasley who doesn't like scents at all, you know, I'm not sure exactly what a person like that is expecting. If you shower beforehand, you know, eventually whatever, but it depends on what rankness means to you. For me personally, there is a difference between body odor that results from hormones and sweat, which is usually like a musk that's really exhilarating for me and something that I find to be a heavy aphrodisiac that I like a lot, versus actual unsanitary uncleanliness, which is the result of bacterial growth and fungi and things like that, which is very common. I remember very distinctly, and I don't remember who it was. I'm not going to out them or anything like that. I was like scrolling through Twitter one time and I saw someone be like, oh man, anyone else's balls smell like a fresh loaf of bread? And I'm like, bro, that's a yeast infection. You need to fungal cream. Dude. That's different. And sometimes when you are athletic, you do get things. I mean, let's just say it, like those sorts of like fungi and things are really common when you are constantly sweating and depending on what kind of under, I mean, they're just different. Some people I think are really into that level of rankness because they have a fetish for like extreme stink. That's not something that I have. No. I don't know, but I'm a shower before the gym kind of guy because that way you have a clean palate, then you get those hormones going. That's chef's kiss.
Yeah, well, I think if you're going to a group setting, I think you need to go showered.
Probably.
I agree.
And certainly no cologne.
No,
I mean,
oh, absolutely not.
Boy, that makes my dick go limp.
Bad. Yeah. Fast.
Number five, the bait and switcher. B-A-T-E, the bait and switcher.
Oh, so I think I know what this is.
Yeah, I feel like I have a, yeah, me too.
Go ahead, Beasley.
Oh, it's someone that wants to just, you go there for the purposes of baiting and they switch and want to do other kind of sex acts.
Yeah. So yeah. I have... number five, the bait and switcher arranges a bait date with the intent to do anything other than bait.
That should have been discussed way before you even show up to the party.
Yeah.
Right.
Or like way before you show up to the person's. Yeah.
I think that this often happens with people that are like, maybe it's people that are more established. I think like people that are new to the bait scene as like a fetish community don't understand sometimes that is the nexus of the play date, that's what you're trying to create and achieve. So for me, I enjoy all kinds of sex, like all varieties of sex, all kinds of sex acts, etc. But if I am planning a bait date with someone, that to me is what we're doing. Like that's like it's kind of like a kink scene almost. So like when you start to like use that, if I can tell that someone is trying to use that as an entree to quote unquote go to the next base or whatever, I get instantly turned off, like instantly out of it. Like that's like a total boner kill.
Right.
And it's usually pretty obvious when someone tries to do that. So yeah, I agree. That's a pretty bad
behavior. Right.
Okay.
Agreed.
Number four, it said the penis pal, but then we turned it into the pen pal. the pen pal.
The endless text syndrome.
Yes.
Without ever intentions of meeting up.
Well, okay, so the pen pal distracts you from an obviously enjoyable cam room bait with private messages. Often the messages, hey, what's up? Or what are you into?
Okay. Right. Yeah. And there are some others to add to that, like age ? And stats ?
Like literally, I'm showing myself to you. These are my stats. Welcome to my stats. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Like, how big are you? And I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, my cock is at a full raging hard on, and it's on cam. What do you think it is? You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, this is my biggest pet peeve. I would have put this at number one, but I dropped it down because there were others that got mentioned more often. Because I'm in the camera baiting, and the messages are popping up. Like, why are you trying to get me to take my hand off my dick?
Right.
Like, can you, I'm here to be, I do not want to be answering messages.
So this one might actually be coming up. I don't know, but a lot of times people will write a message. Like if you're in the video chat at Bay World, and they'll be like the screen director. So they'll send you a message, do this, do that, stop. You know what I mean? It's just like, oh my God. Like, I think I got this under control, but let me know if I'm not.
I think some people do get turned on and have a fetish for being issued commands and following through with commands. Some people have a fetish for giving commands. That's not my thing at all. Like, that's whatever. Mm-hmm. So I sort of understand that same point. Like, that's a turnoff for me. One thing that I dislike actually about how the cam rooms on Bait World specifically work is when a message like that pops up, it sort of takes over the whole interface.
Yeah.
Which is super distracting.
Right.
So I agree. Like, that's annoying. That's actually something I kind of hope maybe someday in the future they kind of fix on the site. Cause that is something that gets really distracting. It doesn't pop up in a way that you can like scoot it away real quick. You have to kind of click back over.
Right. And
a second to refresh.
And if I'm baiting in the cam room, I'm putting myself out there and someone who's anonymous doesn't even have a profile built and they sent me a private message to say, hey, hot, you're hot. I'm very honored by that. Very flattered. But why didn't you just say it in the group, the group chat and just say it in front of everybody? Hey, right. You're hot. Great. Okay. Then I can just say thank you.
They want that private attention.
Exactly. I was going to say that. I was like, I think people are just fiending for your attention. Yeah.
Well, it's a bad behavior. That's a bad bro behavior. Yeah. Okay.
But I don't think people know. I think they see you all here, so sexy and famous and like doing your thing. And they're just like, oh my God, this is a perfect opportunity to like talk to someone on the side. It's like fanboying over you. Take it as a compliment and just be like, you know what? I'm enjoying my penis. We'll talk later.
Well, I do, but I'm not necessarily going to respond to all those comments.
No, you don't. Yeah, because, you don't have to.
People should realize if they're going to do it, you may not get a response back. And it's not that the person's rude, but they're trying to jerk off.
But I think that falls under like this idea of like someone obligated simply because you're in the public eye or showing off your sex. We're not obligated to text back or answer every single message that we get across our lap.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with it if they're just sending me a message. If they get really upset if I'm not responding back, then yeah, I agree. That's sort of more problematic to me. I do think that some people just get off on wanting the one-on-one interaction. I probably won't give it to them. But I would just want to circle back to saying that, like, I think on Bait World particularly, it's annoying, not because of the user's actions themselves, but because opening that private message window sort of takes over the interface, which is, like, really annoying.
Well, and a stupid question, like, what are you into? Why don't you check my profile first?
Right.
Yeah. Am I going to stop and start describing all, what my whole sexuality is about in this? Stop the whole cam bait and God, ridiculous.
I always hesitate because I'm just like, if you give them the one answer first, it's kind of like they just take the opportunity to answer the next following right. 20 questions. You're like, you know, yeah. I'm just not even going to answer the first one.
Right. Mike?
It is literally one of the stupidest questions you can ask. Like remember when you were in a kid and they said there are no stupid questions?
Right.
Except when you're in a fucking chat room, jacking your fucking cock, and someone says, what are you into? And you're like, right. I don't know, man. It's like, something about this. I don't know.
I do one-on-one chat roulette kind of stuff a lot still, and I don't like typing. I'm a vocal person. I'm verbal. So for me, that's part of the enjoyment. If I have to take my hands off my dick, it's a problem for me. I understand some people don't want to talk, whatever. But sometimes people even verbally will say that, and I'm like, you're looking at it. Like, this is right. This is what I'm into. I think also some people get off on the fantasy of whatever it is in their mind that they want to narrate. I don't. I'm much more of a realism person of like what we're doing right now. If I'm like chatting one-on-one with someone and they're talking about how they're trying to reenact verbally how they want to fuck me or how they want to do this or they want to do something else, in my mind, that doesn't do anything for me. So like mm-hmm. the into question is just like, this is what I'm into in this moment mm-hmm. is my penis can't go through the computer screen. So we can't. So let's. Right.
And why do you need to know about anything else? Because you're 3,000 miles away and we're not.
Yeah, for sure.
We're not going to be playing.
Right. Okay. Right.
All right. Ready to move on?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number three, the trespasser. I think this is going to be easy. No?
Where you let someone into the, where you're having a one-on-one date and you let someone in without the other person's consent.
That's a good one.
I've had that happen to me and I was very upset. I was like, this is not happening.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So you're baiting with somebody and you're having a good time and then they let somebody else in.
And you're just like, wait a minute, what is this dynamic? Right. What's happening here?
Yeah, that's
it's good. Like the virtual equivalent of surprise group sex,
mm-hmm.
which is also not cool.
That's a good one. I'm glad that came up. Okay, so the trespasser touches, kisses, sucks, or makes any physical contact without permission. So this, I guess, would be in more of a
group scene.
Right. Well, this is interesting because it's just like, do you need permission to get a kiss if you want it from someone? Or are we talking about engaging with someone that you might not particularly want that extra affection from?
Well, if you go to a bait event, I don't think you can assume that anybody wants to be touched without permission. You can't. I don't want to be touched.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking in the purposes of like a large group, but if I'm with someone or with three people or four,
right,
I don't need to like ask the room whether or not I can like touch anything. I'm going to assume that we're all there for the same thing and kind of gauge it that way.
Well, if it's a small enough group and you all kind of know or have talked.
Yeah, sure. Of course. But if you're going to like an LA Jacks group and there's a group of 15 men.
Right.
Then yeah, there's a conversation to be had. There's questions to be asked. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
And especially kissing, to me, if I am kissing you, I am really into you because I do not want to kiss everyone. Right. I mean, I'll suck a dick faster than I'll kiss you. Okay.
Right. Right. Oh, for sure. Yeah, but this is a chemistry thing too, right? Like if you're going to kiss someone, there's usually, you know, there's some chemistry that's built up between two people.
Mm-hmm. I've had people try and kiss me and it's like, wait, what? Where did that come from?
Yeah,
it's because you're so sexy, Robert.
I mean, I think at the end of the day, this is what this question is, or what this point is, you know, just navigating consent at all, which is a mixture of explicit verbal enthusiasm as well as vocalized enthusiasm, as well as nonverbal cues, as well as everything, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, obviously, you can kind of tell usually if you are, and you can ask whether or not things are okay, and you can ask all those things. You can kind of see as chemistry is building with someone, whether that's in person or not. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I think that at a big event, it's definitely the case where you're interacting with a bunch of strangers, potentially. It's definitely the case that you don't know what's going on. I actually, because I'm so turned on by verbal interaction, period, I usually ask people whether or not they want to do something or into something, and that actually turns me on anyway. So for me, that's usually not that big of a deal because like we've already kind of done that.
I think in my experience, that's a good point. I think in my experience, it's always been that they're not willing to ask because they're afraid of the no and how to navigate that no after the fact. And I've had that happen to me before. And I was like, whoa, you know, they were doing something to, I don't know, something with my butt. And I was like, no, you know, I'm not doing that. And then I try to salvage the mood and say, you know, if you would have asked me beforehand, we would have negotiated something that would have appeased both of us. And he was like, well, yeah, I was just really scared that you would say no and then it would end. And so it was kind of like having this conversation of like, why would you just assume the sex would end? You know, I'm here to hold a safe space for you and really walk you through this process. It's about knowing what feels good for my body and what feels good for yours. And I think oftentimes it's always the fear of not knowing how to bounce back from someone saying, no, I don't want this done to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just thought of this now. I remember a group bait I went to and somebody came up behind me, crouched down and went to eat my ass. I was like, I don't like that. Like anytime. So yeah. I know people are people are like, what? You don't like that? But no, I really don't.
Well, no, I think that that's definitely sort of out of the blue and should require a little bit of explicit consent ahead of time. Even kissing, you know, it's interesting. At bait events that I've been to, I don't assume everyone wants to be kissed. I don't have that kind of, actually in that event, I don't know that in that scenario, in a very large group bait scenario in person, I'm not really that into kissing, honestly, myself. That's sort of not where my mindset is. But one-on-one, I obviously have that chemistry with someone potentially, depending on who it is. You know, it just depends on how that goes. But yeah, I feel like just starting to eat your butt is kind of out of pocket.
I think for me, it's always just about best practice, just to always ask.
Yep.
Oh, never just assume that this person's going to allow you to do whatever they want to their bodies. We own our bodies and we're giving you permission to do what we allow you to do to them. Right. So
that's the bottom line.
Rule of thumb, ask.
Yeah. And if it's someone that I have a lot of chemistry with and they ask me to do something that I'm not really into and I don't want the mood to end, I mean, I guess I'm not required to do this and I don't have to do it, but I usually offer them an immediate alternative because I want them to know that we're having fun and we're having a good time and I don't want to leave them at rejection. So if they start trying to finger my butthole and I'm like, sorry, I'm not really into that, but it'd be really awesome if you cupped my balls right now or something like that. Because what that does is it rights the mood. It gets us back into play mode so that we're still playing. And then the other person feels like they are able to satisfy me and they haven't just come up against a wall. So that's that's how I
love
I do
that.
Because you have disconnected that emotional bond that you're having with one another. Mm-hmm. You're able to salvage whatever it is that you're capable of doing together and move forward in a more... special horny place.
Hey bro, I really don't like when you eat my butt, but play with my tits and I'll like
there you go.
Exactly, which is definitely mine, so do that as much as
just shove your lovely nipples in his face.
Please.
All right, number two, this one I struggled with to come up with a name. Number two, the wall.
Where they just like don't do anything?
Don't do anything? Yeah, I was gonna say they just sit there or lay there, not are like proactive and like turning you on.
Okay, number two, the wall. I didn't do a good job with this. All right. ignores all greetings and kind words and may never give them.
Yeah.
Also, give me an example.
And this came up a lot. Well, obviously it's number two. I mean, came up a lot.
But in what context? I'm curious. Right.
I'm trying to think about what people were writing. I think I have a feeling it's more like cam room related.
Let's say for a cam room like this and you're greeting someone but they're not even replying back to you.
Well, or you're saying you're hot or something like that. Or maybe in a group setting, just here's a lot of the comments were like this. Going to a group setting and not acknowledging everyone. Like, you're like, you get into one person and you're not even like acknowledging other people.
That has to do with there are just in my mind, there's like so many reasons as to why someone wouldn't do that. The first two things that came into my mind is one, it could be cultural, just who they are as a person raised culturally. They're not used to familiarizing yourself upon entering a room, or shyness, awkwardness, insecurity.
That's me.
I doubt that.
If no, I'm serious. If I go into a group setting. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, Mike, you and I talked about this in your podcast.
Right.
It's difficult for me to get a boner in a group setting. Like
like you've mentioned that to me.
Yeah. Before. So, and the shyness comes out in other ways, like even just like going up to people or, you know, just being pro, you know.
Wait, right. What if we were all baiting here, us four, would you be able to get a boner or no?
I think so.
Okay, so maybe it has to do with the familiarity.
Yeah, right, probably right. A little bit of the familiarity.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like the comfortableness of who you are with.
Yeah.
Could probably enhance that.
Well, there's okay, so then is this a problem or not? Because it's
what's that?
I was trying to figure out if it's a problem or not.
I just think it may not be a problem for us, you know? Like the three of us, four of us may not be an issue for. Clearly, it was an issue out there, right? I mean, it right number two on the list.
Yeah.
So if I showed up to a big bait event, like, and I actually don't do this very often because I tend to prefer to play with people that I know. So like, mm-hmm. I tend to just prefer mm-hmm. that chemistry. So if I have a group setting, they're usually all people that I know or that know each other or whatever. But I have been to big events before and they can be fun. If I'm at that event, if I see one person at the event and they get really into another person at the event, right? And they don't really pay any attention to me or don't pay attention to other people. Like, I'm kind of not in my feelings about that. Like, live your life. Like, I don't know. I don't really experience those kinds of, to me, it's almost like a jealousy thing. But that being said, this kind of a thing to me, I guess I interpreted this problem a different way. I do like a little bit, like if I say hello to someone, I don't need them to talk my ear off, but if they just sort of like, there's a little bit of human acknowledgement and politeness mm-hmm. that I think does go a long way. Yeah. And I think Beasley's right. Some of that is cultural for sure. 100%. Right. But I do think that there is some of that that does rub me the wrong way. Or like if I tell someone, or if I just like wave and say good morning or like whatever, or hey, nice to see you guys. Like there's kind of a, when that isn't returned, that can feel shitty for sure. Right. So there's some things like that.
Well, I think one of the things that listeners should get is that, you know, not to take things personally and just move on.
Yeah. You know, Robert, especially in the cyber world, there's just way too many people it's just, you know, you just need to, it's one thing if you're in person and something happens, like the not acknowledging you at the gym thing. And then in the cyber world, it's like, you know, just even a lower expectation of commitment, right? It's just, you know, it's just.
I just think it's, when it's situational, like a gym, I'm not going to get upset if I see someone, you know, lifting weight. Maybe they're busy. Maybe they're focused on something completely different. But if I'm being invited to like a group party or a group sitting or a beta group at someone's home or someone's hotel, or like if I'm walking into their space, then it's a conscious effort for me to be as gracious as possible. Like, you're opening up your doors, you have no idea who I am, what I'm capable of doing in your space. I'm bringing in my energy, so it's an opportunity for me to be happy, gracious, hospitable, all these wonderful things, because it really just adds to the enjoyment of the atmosphere. Everyone's happy, everyone's kind, everyone's nice and horny.
I just can't wait to see what number one is.
Number one's gonna be good. Yeah, what I was just gonna say is that I have two basic personality traits. One is like big bro and the other one is like mom. Like if you come over to my home for some kind of an event or something, I make sure everybody has water. I'm like, does everybody need a towel? Does everybody have like a lube thing? Everybody cool? Are we all good? Yeah. I make sure everyone's I just like that kind of stuff. It's nice. It's welcoming.
Right.
Okay. So before we get to one, we have some honorable mentions.
Oh boy.
Nice.
Okay, so honorable mention, the understudy. And this is more of a mindset. Okay, so the understudy expects to perform acts that another baiter performed with you. This is a mindset that leads to becoming the trespasser. So they might see you kissing someone else, and then they assume they can just slip right in there and start kissing you. And you can't. What people negotiate with each other, it's individual. You can't.
It's all independent.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Right.
Okay. Honorable mention. Simon is everyone's coach, whether they like it or not. I think you were kind of talking about this before. So yeah. Simon says, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
This would have been on the list for me. and mm-hmm. ranked higher, but maybe I'm just, this Simon Says thing is just really a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. I agree completely. I have people that have talked to me that really want me to coach them, maybe because they've seen one of my videos where I'm kind of doing that with someone else or like this or that, which sort of leads into the previous honorable mention too. And it's like, yeah, I'm not, you know, this right. is not, I don't know. Yeah.
Right. Well, to me, this is, I'll be in a cam room and somebody who's really into coaching just assumes they can do it with me. And yeah, no. And you know, I don't mind somebody saying, oh God, I'd love to see you play with your nipples or something, you know, like right. that's cool, but not somebody taking right. over and telling you what to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right.
Honorable mention, the bro napper. Expects you to cam one-on-one when you are obviously having a great time in a group and you've not had any prior contact.
This is a good one.
Again, this would be on my list and it would be very high on the list. Like you're in the chat room in Bait World and you get a message that says Skype ? Like, okay. You know, it's just, I don't know. This would rank high for me.
This would have been, yeah, one of my, yeah, same here. I mean, you're jerking off and then you get this pop-up, like you said, Skype. Why in the world would I want to, I'm obviously having a good time. I don't know you. I have never seen you. Bizarre.
I'm sort of in between about this one and I'll tell you why. The reason why I'm in between about this one is I prefer one-on-one interactions to group settings. So for me, when I meet people in a chat room environment, it is for the purpose of moving that conversation to a one-on-one setting. Now, I don't assume that everybody wants to do that, and I assume most people are happy in the group. But that being said, this sort of goes back to the point I made before about how the interface, at least on Baitworld, this is true to some degree. It's less true on Dudes Nude and like other sites, but like when you send someone a private message like that, it sort of takes over their experience, which is not very pleasant. So if I do that, I usually send them a direct message via the normal sites thing saying, hey, it'd be fun to Skype sometime. Why don't, here's my ID, blah, 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 blah. You know, and then maybe they do that, you know, whatever.
Well, right. if I were camming in a cam room and I were interacting with someone who also had their camera on and they, you know, we were obviously, you know, there was some connection there and invited me to move to another platform. I mean, that's one thing, but I get messages from people who aren't even camming and,
oh, I see.
You know, and they're like, do you want to go to
Skype? Yeah, that's weird as fuck. That's really weird.
That is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't even believe it. Why the fuck would I do that?
I mean, I'll do it if they're really hot and then maybe just end up coming back to the camera when I realize they're just kind of boring.
How do you even know they're hot though? I mean, I'll get just.
Oh, look at their profile.
You go in there.
No profile. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah.
Sometimes you got to just take that chance. You're like, all right, let's see what this guy's working with. Let's see what this guy's about. I'll go in there for a quick minute and I'm just like,
Yeah. And
I have taken the chance before and it has sometimes panned out.
It sometimes panned out too. Okay. But I think in this situation, I just want to make it clear that it's flattering, right? To have someone to be like, listen, I want your all your attention. I want you to bait with me. Just like, that's really great. Thank you so much. But I'm having a great time in this group.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's usually what I say as well.
Yeah. Okay. I think the next one's number one. It might be another honor. No, I think it's another honorable mention. Okay. This is similar. Honorable mention, the hijacker. Haha, I like this one. Hijacker, get it? Attempts to hijack the cam room with a link to a Zoom room or some other platform. How do you feel about that?
This doesn't bother me at all.
No.
Just because it doesn't take over my experience.
Right.
So like you're in a cam room and then the pop-ups start coming with links to Zoom to go somewhere else.
If the Zoom link is in the main chat feed such that it doesn't interrupt the experience, I kind of don't care because like what the fuck ever. Like it's just scrolling by. But okay. If it's in a private message, that's more annoying for sure. Mm.
But isn't that like bad etiquette if someone's hosting like a big group jerk off session and someone's like, come to my group jerk off session, isn't that kind of like a, you don't go to a party and invite someone else to another party.
I find it weird that you would even do it. I mean, you're coming into a cam room where people are baiting and saying, okay, let's do this somewhere else. I don't even get it.
Yeah, that's
right.
I get it from the point of view that Zoom, well, it depends on how many people that are in there, but potentially is a better cam experience. Mm. Just because I have a lot of issues with some of the way that the interface works on certain sites. Yeah. And so like for me, I understand. But again, unless it's a pop-up taking over my whole screen, I don't really care. Mm-hmm. It's whatever. Yeah. I mean, I guess it is sort of like going into a party and saying, hey, let's go to another party. But I'm kind of not mad at those people either. Like, I don't know. Like,
I mean, if the party sucks.
And I've clicked on one of those Zoom links, but usually I'm like, sorry, I did. And I go back to Bait World. I mean, I just, sure. You know, just so, yeah. Okay. I think the next one's number one. Yes. Number one. The Magician.
Oh.
Oh my God. I have no idea.
Is this where they just like appear and disappear? Or like,
you got it, Adam. Number one, The Magician suddenly disappears, most often immediately following his ejaculation, but can also do it in the middle of a bait.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Mike. I'm actually 50% on this one. If you do it right after you shoot your load, I'm totally cool because I get it. Like, that's what guys do. But if you just disappear in the middle of a chat, like, that is, I think that's the most, I would agree. I would rank this as number one. That's the most obnoxious behavior that you can exhibit. But if you shoot your load, and I just understand the males, the male psyche, you're just done. Yeah. Right. And you just really kind of need to not freak out about that. Mm-hmm. But if somebody just shoots their load and then they disappear, I'm totally cool with that. I just laugh and I love men for kind of that purpose. They don't need to cuddle and do because whatever. Yeah. But if you do it like in the middle of it, you're just rude and you just disappear. I've had that happen. And then they come back to me and chat me like, you know, the next day or whatever. And I'm like, well, what the fuck? Why would you think I would put up with that for more of that? No, thanks. So I'm kind of like 50% on this one, but the 50% that I'm on heavy. Like, I agree completely.
Yeah. I'm kind of the same. I expect that when this intersects a little bit with how well you know someone. Again, I have some cam buddies that go back many years.
Right.
And if I was camming with someone, that I know pretty well and they did that, I'd be like, what the fuck? Did something happen? Or is your internet okay? I would just assume their internet went out, right? Right. Something like that. But if it's a stranger and we're going one-on-one, they're like, oh fuck, you're so fucking hot, blah, blah, blah. And we're like doing this verbal interchange and then they just like disappear like that.
Right.
That's kind of rude. That's really shitty because I'm like really getting into my dick at that point. And then suddenly it's like, okay. Yeah. Now I have to interact with a new stranger. Okay, fine. Bye. You
know. Well, I've had people, it hasn't happened that often, but okay. So I remember a time when I went to Skype with someone who I had been in a cam room with. We were, you know, interacting. He invited me to Skype and then just like cut it off, like shortly after we started. And then I'm like, geez, I guess,
I guess you didn't make the cut.
I guess not.
You didn't make the cut.
At the end of the day, it's a rejection and that sucks and no one likes to experience rejection, but it also shows a sign of incompatibility. So I guess it's fine. But it is shitty.
I agree that it's shitty and it's an opportunity for you to express to yourself like, you know what, this just isn't working out. And I don't think people have that capability or they don't understand that language. Mm-hmm. Again, I think they're afraid of the no or they're afraid of just saying, hey, I don't want to hurt this person's feelings. I'm going to make an excuse saying someone's home, I got to go, versus saying, hey, actually, this bait session isn't really working for me, so I'm going to go back to this group setting and engage with other men. But I think I just think it's people just don't know how to say this isn't working out.
That's what this episode is for. I mean, want this to be a learning session for new baiters or even seasoned ones to know it's okay to say, you know what, this isn't working for me.
It's always okay to say no. Like, I want people to understand that you have choice all the time with, even if you were in person or virtual, like you always have the ability to say, you know what, this just isn't working out for me. Yeah. I think how you communicate that, words, tone, effect of afflictions in the voice, that all really matters. And I don't think people have a handle or self-awareness of how they communicate that. But I would suggest practice, just, you know, keep doing it. You'll get better at it.
Yeah, I have kind of a first of all, if I'm not into somebody and we've gone off on Skype, my little guy is not gonna, he's just not gonna do it, right? He'll just stop performing, and he goes down, and then I blame it all on him, shift the blame, and I'm like, oh, I guess he needs a union break, you know, and I'm out. And that's kind of how I do that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because it's like physiologically, I'm just going to be signaling this isn't working for me. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm not into you, I'm not going to be having like a raging hard on,
right?
Okay. You know, mm-hmm. So
yeah, I if I'm going private with somebody and we're on Skype and we're playing around on Skype, there are a lot of reasons why you might not be into somebody. Usually, the physical attraction is there because I don't really cam with people one on one who just send me random Skype messages. Like, mm-hmm. it's someone that I've seen and we've interacted a little bit. So that part's okay. I'm pretty okay. Like, I agree with Beastly. It's like completely a way of how you know how to reject someone. I think, you know what? How you choose to reject someone is kind of on you. If you want to like make up an excuse and say like kind of like what Mike was saying a second ago, like that's fine. That's your prerogative to do it. I usually tell people straight up like, hey, I really need, like if someone's, my thing is if they're really quiet, because I do need a verbal banter mm-hmm. to be horny mm-hmm. for that kind of interaction, because I'm just super wired to that kind of mode of play. So if they're super quiet and I'm doing all the talking, I can't get into it. And I usually just tell them flat out. I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, it's cool that you're super quiet, or maybe you can't use your mic right now, but this isn't doing it for me. I need someone who's more verbal. Sorry about mm-hmm. that. You know, and then I end it. But I mean, I'm used to rejecting people like that sometimes, because some people are super quiet about that, or they just get off on this, on the visual stimulus.
Yeah.
And I'm okay doing that, and I'm okay ending a call, like that. I do. For like my OnlyFans shit, I record a lot of these like I film a lot of these like split cam style bait scenes with other models sometimes. And if I don't know the model first, I try to go on Skype and do something with them if they aren't a baiter like in the community already, just to see how that chemistry is. And I've had to occasionally say, hey, look, we might have great chemistry in person, but in this scenario with this thing, it's just not the chemistry.
Right.
Well, I wonder if that's another thing that you should think about negotiating. If it's important for you to have the other person stick around so you can get off, like if you're going to cam with someone, maybe let them know, hey, if you shoot, can you just hang out for a minute and I'll be able to get off just looking at you.
Right.
And I've had conversations like that.
That's totally valid and acceptable for sure.
Yeah. One turn on to me is just seeing cum on a guy. Like when they spray it on their belly, mm-hmm. I mean, that'll get me off. But if they already split the second they shot, then it's not going to happen.
Right.
And it's totally okay to say, hey, I'm looking to come, and I'm also looking to come with someone who wants to come with me or wait. Like, it's okay to have those. Like, that's fine to like put all that up front. Some people, sometimes I am like denying a little bit, especially like sometimes before I work out, I like to edge a little bit and deny and not come till later in the day. Mm-hmm. So if I cam with someone, I actually usually let them know up front, hey, I'm just going to edge for like 15 to 20 minutes. If you want to show off, mm-hmm. that'd be really hot, but I'm not looking to come right now. I let them know that up front so that they know how to like mitigate their expectation of what's going
right.
on if that's not hot right. for them, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really smart. I feel like that's really helpful in those situations, because then the expectation doesn't increase, right? As you're having this one-on-one interaction, people know, okay, he's only going to be available for 10 or 15 minutes. That's cool too. But I think more than anything, I think this is something that I've been, that I've dealt with, is this idea of like rejection, internalizing that shut off. Like when the magician's gone, mm-hmm. then it becomes like this internal world in your mind, like, oh, they didn't think I was sexy. Was I not saying the right things? Was I not hot enough? Was my dick not big enough? Mm-hmm. And I think in those situations, I think it's so important to remember that it probably has nothing to do with you.
Right.
Yeah.
It's all circumstantial. Yeah. They're probably just looking for a certain type, or they want to get off, or their expectations are far exceeding whatever they're into at that moment.
And their roommate just walked in the bathroom.
Or their mom just came home.
The boyfriend. Good point.
And they're like, close the laptop screen.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
I try never to internalize it. Worst case scenario, they're just an asshole and I don't want to cam with them again, so I probably won't.
Right.
Or, you know, and I've actually had occasions where I've cammed with someone who's done that to me and I was kind of like in my feelings about it, but then I forgot about it. And then like weeks later, they reappeared and they actually said, hey, I'm really sorry about that one time something happened. And I really appreciated that. So
that
happens sometimes
that's
too.
That's good. Yeah, exactly.
Mike, I know you have to go. Thank you very much for being on Sexual Heroes today.
Man, I love your podcast. You always get to the heart of the matter, man. I really love it. And it was great to be with you other two. These are awesome. These lists, I think this is really super helpful for people. Honestly, it makes the experience for everyone so much better when everybody kind of knows the do's and don'ts.
Sure. All right. Thanks, Mike. Did anything else come to mind while we were talking today of things that you would consider a bad behavior? Or do you feel like we've covered it all?
I think a lot of it just ends up boiling down to navigating issues of consent, navigating, you know, mitigating other people's sense of whether or not to reject or be rejected. I think those are things. And I think people sometimes take them personal. Like, it's not my responsibility to make someone else be the most realized version of themselves, but also I can be empathetic to what they need. Like, there's so many different aspects to that. And I think, yeah, important. I mean, conversation and dialogue and communication are all really important things.
Well, one thing that I'm getting from the discussion is, I think, you know, we talk about communication, you know, you need to, you know, get consent. But I think when you're communicating with someone, you not only want to communicate your boundaries, but you want to communicate your expectations. Because if you have expectations that something's going to go down a certain way and it's important to you, you need to let your bro know about that.
I think that's true.
That's really true. But I think also too, a lot of things, it's just a skill. A lot of people just aren't able to communicate in intimate sexual settings what their desires are. And I think people are under the assumption that they watch porn and all of a sudden people are fucking. And you're just like, but that's not what happened. It happened before this penetration in this scene. There's a conversation that needs to happen. Unless you're cruising, and that's totally fine. That's a whole different world. It's all situational too. But I think for the purposes of what we're trying to communicate here, really what you're trying to do is establish a bro-ness, right? And I think that's what baiters essentially would like, a bro to like have these sexual situations with. And I think it's important to understand that everyone is so completely different and we're so experienced in different levels that it's great to be able to practice these things. Consent, communication, expectations, these are all mixed and intertwined together, so it's easy to get, so it becomes really nebulous for people. So if you just break it down in chunks, it becomes a little bit digestible.
Yeah, and I think it's important to be empathetic to the fact that, like, yeah, there are some people who are, like, new. So maybe, yeah, this episode will probably be really helpful for some people. But, like, some people are just sort of new to the whole scene, whether it's virtual or in person. And so, like, they don't know what the sort of – how to read the room. They don't know how to do that. You know, they don't know what to expect. And, you know, some of us have been doing certain things, whether online or in person, certain kinds of scenes for years, right? And so, like, I have a really good sense in my mind of what turns me on in any moment or what I'm looking for from some type of thing, and I can articulate that to somebody else. And yeah, someone might not be able to. I try to approach people like that. Like, I mean, a lot of those things that were on the list were definitely behaviors that are super irksome and super annoying. But I also try to assume that most people at their heart of hearts are not malicious, and that it's coming from a place of just not knowing how to navigate certain spaces.
But I think it's such a positive way to look at it too. Like, when you think about everyone's just trying to do their best, and I think when you approach people that way, you're just like, okay, they just don't know, you know, they've never done this, either they're really new at this or they're just nervous. You know, they want to have sex and they don't really know how to navigate this space yet.
So help them.
Which is one of the joys of the reasons why I do what I do. It's a way to offer advice and communicate to people and give skills and coach them. And it's really exciting when you're able to get that information out and they begin to use this and implement this, and then their base sessions become exponentially better. It's nice.
Before we say goodbye, Adam, do you want to talk about where people can find you, or do you want to promote anything, or this is your chance?
Sure. you know, I love a good self-promotion moment. My name is Adam Surge. I'm an adult film model, and you can find me on Adam Surge XXX on all platforms. You can also find me in the cam rooms on Bait World or like random places where I'm just there just for fun and just to say hello. I'm very friendly. Say hello to me. And you can find me on like OnlyFans and stuff if you want to pay me to watch my videos. There are many videos. They come out every week. Okay.
And Beastly.
Nice. Yeah. I'm BC Bader. You can find me on all socials under that alias. I would consider myself a bait influencer. I write a bunch of blogs for the Bait World Bait blog. I have my own podcast called The Bait Escape. Working on a couple of new episodes coming out. Robert's been on the Bait Escape podcast. Mm-hmm. That was a really nice one. But you can catch me on Bait World under the same name, all BC Baiter, Instagram, Twitter. I feel like Twitter is the one that I use the most right now.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, guys, for being on Sexual Heroes today.
Thanks, Robert.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks for having us.
For information with links about a guest on Sexual Heroes, visit the show notes. And please be sure to follow me on Twitter @RobertBlackXXX. Thanks for listening.